Well, I just want to talk to you tonight. It's a little different subject. We're not going to go to Leviticus. We're going to talk about something that kind of need to just touch these things once in a while because it's things that affect us a lot. Discouragement. Do you ever get discouraged? Every day? Is there ever a day that you don't get discouraged? Once in a while? Well, discouragement's the main hindrance that everybody has to deal with. I really believe that's right. You know, we preach a lot about sin and different things, and sin causes discouragement. Not doing right is surely going to bring you to a place of discouragement. But even doing right, you're going to get discouraged. It's just a part of life. It's part of the battle that we are in. You just can't expect. I mean, if you expect to not ever be discouraged, you're going to be discouraged. You're going to be disappointed because you're going to get discouraged. Don't doubt it. Everybody's discouraged. You know, you see people and you think, boy, they're just so bright and they're always so upbeat and they're just always so happy and enthusiastic about everything, and they don't ever get discouraged. You're wrong. They do. A lot of people... In fact, most people have this mask on that everybody looks at and sees, and they think that's them, but it's not them. It's a mask they're wearing to hide what they really are, what they're really feeling, what's really going on in their life. That's why everybody's always so shocked when one of these celebrities, commits suicide or something. You know, a lot of these comedians do that. You know, and it's always been that way. I read here some time ago, even Red Skelton, some of you young people may not even know who I'm talking about, but he was a comedian for way long. Just a clown, that's what he was. Just always funny, funny, funny. But he was in the service and he had to go to, not rehabilitation, that ain't what they called it back then, but he had to go to, because he was depressed. Down and out and discouraged and couldn't keep going. And in front of everybody, he'd crack jokes and laugh and just make everybody else laugh, but inside he wasn't laughing at all. He was discouraged. So don't doubt it. Everybody's discouraged. And especially in times like we live, there's so much confusion and there's so much apostasy, and as far as the church is concerned, there's so much hypocrisy on every hand, on every side. In the church, out of the churches. The so-called Christians, those many that profess to be Christians, they're hypocritical. But so are the lost people. They're hypocrites too. It seems like everybody says they're something and they're not. And so there's confusion on every hand. That makes for being discouraged. You get discouraged when things are in a confused state because you can't find your way. And you're never sure of anything. And so you don't know what to try and what not to try. You don't know if go keep going or not keep going. It's the devil's most powerful weapon that he uses. And he uses it more than any other. Discouragement. You need to really think about this. Because you get it too. You feel it too. Discouragement. Yeah, we do very little to counter it. Or avoid it in ourselves personally. We do very little to help other people deal with it. We do very little to deal with it ourselves in our own life. I mean, we just fall prey to it very easily. We're just like, we don't do very much to counter it. And we do practically nothing to help other people who are discouraged. And it's the main thing that drives people to forsake God and righteousness and just step on over into sin and live that kind of a life. Discouragement. That's important what I just said because it's really true. It's one of the main things that cause people to go astray, to turn away from God and right. Get that? They're discouraged. They get discouraged and they fall away. Believe, before entering into some awful sin, people are always first discouraged. You know what discouragement is? I've said it a lot. Depression is anger without enthusiasm. Do you know what you've are right before you get discouraged? Angry. Discouragement always follows anger. So when you get angry, you buckle up, you're fixing to be discouraged. It means to be spiritless, disheartened, or dismayed, deprived of courage or confidence. Confidence. You just lose your confidence. Depressed in spirits, dejected. You just feel like a failure. It's close to despair, which is hopelessness. And, you know, to be discouraged is going in that direction. To be discouraged is just the precursor to being in despair. And what the world calls depression now. It's always based on the lies of the devil. Sure ain't based on the promises of God. How could you be discouraged? If you just focus on the promises of God and you believe God, how could you be discouraged? But we are. Because we get our eyes and our mind off of that and on to the circumstances around us. Or on to something that's happened. And we focus on that. Somebody who's let us down. Somebody who's done us wrong. Somebody who's turned away from us. In some reason like that, and that's how we get discouraged. What are the reasons for it? Well, apparent failure. When it looks like we've just failed. In, you know, in the business of life in general. People get discouraged because everything just don't work. If we would just realize that everything is not going to work, then we wouldn't get discouraged when something don't work. You know, people used to teach their children that. That was one of the truths that they instilled into their children. The old timers did. Don't say, I can't. Can't never got anything done. Did you ever hear that?
Yes, sir.
Don't be discouraged. You can do it. And if you fail, try again. I mean, you don't just, oh, I can't do anything. I ain't no good. I just can't do anything. Everything I try. Well, nobody wants to hear that stuff. And it don't do you any good either. And the only one who's going to side with you is the devil. And he'll have pity on you and he'll come to your aid like we talked about the other day. But other people, you know, they, no. Self-pity is ugly and unbecoming. And nobody likes it. And everybody turns away from it. Self-pity is you trying to get other people's sympathy. And you can't get it that way. Can't get it that way. Take my word for it. Can't get it that way. Apparent failure, just in the business of life. You know, job. Other things. Family. You know, children in particular. One good thing that can discourage you real good is your children. And in our service for God, you can get discouraged there. Oh my, I think that's probably one of the, where there's the most discouragement is trying to serve God in this wicked world. Because you just expect other people to go along with you, and they won't. You're so discouraged so many times because of people and their lack of interest and their apathetic attitude and all of that. What are the reasons for discouragement? Failure, or what looks like failure. But a lot of times what we think is failure is really not failure. We could ever understand that too. You know, we say, well, we failed. But what I've found out in my experience is usually it was just God's mercy in delivering you from something far worse. What makes what you think is a failure is just God guiding your life to something better. I've found out that's the way it works. God's always got something better in store for you. Eventually. It may, there may be some twists and turns along the way, and there may be a lot of things you're not expecting. It ain't a straight, you don't go to success and winning as the crow flies. You don't do it that way. God never takes us that way. We go the crooked, rough road. So, disappointment in others makes us discouraged. their sin. You know, it really lets us down when somebody we have confidence in sins. It discourages us. That's what's hurt the churches so bad, is all this sin in the ministry and in the churches. You know, they want to brush it off lightly and say, well, God forgives and we ought to forgive and thank God for grace and forgiveness and all of that. Well, yeah. But the damage, what about the damage? What about the discouragement that it has caused? That it's caused so much damage. And how many people fall by the wayside because of somebody else's sin like that? We get discouraged over somebody else's sin. We get discouraged over their apathy. They just don't care. They're not interested. They won't help. You know, won't give. Won't do their part. They won't help carry the load. It's discouraging. Their foolishness. We get discouraged with people and their foolishness. Just doing dumb stuff and getting themselves in a mess and causing a mess and problems for other people. Foolishness of people. You know, in their marriage, and with their children, with their spiritual life, in their business. It discourages us, you know. What would encourage us? Well, if everybody just did right, that would encourage us. But hey, that ain't going to happen. I made mention of it a few times here lately, but boy, I've been studying about the men in the Bible and what discouragement they had to face and deal with. Their life was a life of continual discouragement. Moses had to deal with it. David had to deal with it. Everybody, Jacob had to deal with it. Everybody you can imagine had to deal with it. It appears, you know, when it appears that others have abandoned you, that causes you to be discouraged. You ever had somebody abandon you? You ever have somebody that's been your friend say, I ain't have nothing else to do with you? Or they just disappear and they won't talk to you anymore. You ever have anybody do that to you? Did you ever have anybody do that to you over something somebody else told them that it wasn't true at all? It's discouraging. You know, when it appears that there's no hope of the circumstances ever changing, then we get discouraged. And I've told all of the kids over and over, I've said, you know, just if you get discouraged over the way things are, just sit tight because things will change. They're always changing. And it ain't going to be this way always. It's the devil's lie. See, all discouragement is what we said at the beginning. It's based on the lies of the devil. It's based on the lies of the devil. All discouragement is based on the lies of the devil. It ain't no good. It ain't never going to be no good. You ain't never going to have anything. You ain't never going to do anything. It ain't never going to be any better for you. This is all you're ever going to have, and that's what life's about. That's the devil. That is not true. He is lying to you. Now, all of us in here, except the little bitty ones, have lived long enough to realize that is not true. How many times have you been sitting somewhere just under the juniper tree, just, I'm just so discouraged, and it ain't never going to be no better. And the next day, everything's better. Yep. It doesn't last. Yep. When are we ever going to learn that? Say, get thee behind me, Satan. Rebuke the devil. Resist the devil and he'll flee from you. It's him. It's him that's discouraging you. He gets you looking at yourself. He gets you looking at circumstances and says, boy, you're in a fix now. I mean, this is, hey, taste of it real good because this is your fare for the rest of your life. That's how it's going to be. When it appears that there's no way we can overcome and go forward. I mean, sometimes it feels like we're just at the end of the line. The end. This is it. End of the road. I don't know where we're going to go from here. Well, it's time to just sit tight. And it's time to start reading God's Word. And so you'll be reminded of God's promises. It's time to start remembering your song in the night like the psalmist did. And remembering the other times when you was in a state like this and God delivered you. So when it appears we've been treated unjustly and have no recourse or hope of being vindicated, we get discouraged. This is what everybody's going to think of me from now on. We get discouraged over what we think that everybody else thinks of us. Or what we think they're thinking about us. And usually they ain't thinking about us what we think they're thinking about us. Because the devil put that in your mind again. You know what? Just look at that. You've seen that look they gave you. I mean, how come they didn't call you? How come they didn't speak to you? How come they didn't say something? They just ignored you. Did you see that? Deuteronomy 1, verse 28. Whither shall we go up? Our brethren have discouraged our hearts, saying, the people is greater and taller than we. The cities are great and walled up to heaven. And moreover, we have seen the sons of the Anakims there. You see, that's in Deuteronomy 1:28. That's the people talking. They said, we sent the spies. And they come back, and this is what they told us. We can't do it. I mean, if you go up there, you're going to get yourself killed. Them people are giants, and they got walls around their cities that plumb up to heaven. No way. We can't do it. They discourage the hearts of the people. The Bible says that repeatedly. That's what they did. You get discouraged when somebody says, you'll never do that. You can't do that. When the devil says to you, you can't do that. You'll never do that. You're not able to do that. You ain't strong enough. You ain't rich enough. You ain't smart enough. You ain't pretty enough. It's funny how the devil will join you in your pity party, but he'll insult you and he'll tear you down every chance he gets. And make you think you're lower than a, you know, snake's belly in a wagon rut. Just plain weariness from the way and a lot of work. That you can get discouraged with that too. You get weary. You just get tired. And you get discouraged. Numbers 21 verse 4. And they journeyed from Mount Hor by the way of the Red Sea to compass the land of Edom. And the soul of the people was much discouraged because of the way. You ever get discouraged because of the way? It was hard. It was dry. It was a barren land they were going through. It's the wilderness. I mean, they didn't even know where they was going, for sure. They knew where their destination was, but man, they're going the wrong way to get there. What's this all about? And they were just tired. Push, push, push. Work, work, work. You get discouraged when you get tired. Weariness from waiting and trusting a long time with no help in sight. You get discouraged. Unless you keep your eyes on the Lord. Unless you're disciplined enough in your mind and spirit to keep your thoughts focused on God and His promises. And read them and rehearse them and read what God's done in the past. Rehearse what God's done for you in the past. You know, snap you out of it. Now, everybody gets discouraged. It's one of the main problems we got. It's the devil that does it to us. Why don't we learn? And why don't we resist him? I mean, we can do something about this. And we can do something about it in our own heart and life. And we cannot be discouraged so much if we just don't want to. Now, if you like wallowing in self-pity and feeling miserable and all of that, and snappy and angry and in a bad mood with everybody, and you think that's a good way to do and that's going to profit you, well, go ahead. It's going to be the destruction of you. Better start fighting this thing, being discouraged. And not only that, but we are to encourage one another. Romans 14:19 says, let us therefore follow after the things which make for peace and things wherewith we may edify one another. Wherewith one may edify another. 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 11, wherefore comfort yourselves together and edify one another, even as also ye do. So we're to encourage one another. That's part of our duty as a Christian. That's part of what the Bible calls charity. That if you don't have it, you ain't got nothing going for you. I mean, you ain't got no hope at all if you don't have charity. Charity is, part of charity is encouraging one another. I mean, not just looking out for yourself, just trying to keep from drowning in your own sorrows all the time. I mean, look around you. Other people are discouraged too. Encourage somebody. It's easy. It's real easy to do. This is a good word. This is an encouraging word. It helps so much. Just a kind word. Instead of a grouchy word, a snappy word, a hateful word. You know, how about just sweetening up your words a little bit? Especially around the family, around the people you work with. How about just being nice to people? It'll encourage people. Moses twice was told by God to encourage Joshua. Two different times, God told Moses straightly to encourage. Did I say Noah? Yeah, Moses built the ark, you know. Deuteronomy 1:38. But Joshua, the son of Nun, which standeth before thee, he shall go in thither. Encourage him, for he shall cause Israel to inherit it. See, Moses, it's his life work to take the children of Israel out of Egypt and take them to the promised land. And he ain't going to get to do it. We talked about that the other day. But God's telling Moses, Joshua is going to do it. Encourage him. He's going to need some encouragement. And nobody knew that better than Moses. Them people wore that man. Oh my goodness. What a burden he bore for all those 40 long years in the wilderness. Mercy. And the 40 years he spent on the backside of the desert. 80 years he was in dealing with these people and lived for them. I mean, God working in his life to deal with them, and in 40 years living with them every day. And he knew. He knew Joshua, if Joshua's going to do this, he's going to need some encouragement. So in Deuteronomy 1:38, God told Moses to encourage Joshua. And then in Deuteronomy 3, verse 28, God said again to Moses, but charge Joshua and encourage him and strengthen him, for he shall go over before the people, and he shall cause them to inherit the land which thou shalt see. You never know what somebody around you is going to do either in the future. You need to always remember that. You never know what these kids are going to do. You never know what one another. There ain't no telling what God's got in store. So you ought to encourage. You ought to encourage them. So Moses did encourage Joshua, just as God had commanded him to do. Listen to this. Deuteronomy 31. I mean, that was Deuteronomy 1. Deuteronomy 3. Now skip to Deuteronomy 31, verse 7 and 8. Moses called unto Joshua, and said unto him in the sight of all Israel, be strong and of a good courage, for thou must go with this people unto the land which the Lord has sworn unto their fathers to give them, and thou shalt cause them to inherit it. And the Lord, he it is that doth go before thee. He will be with thee. He will not fail thee, neither forsake thee. Fear not, neither be dismayed. That's what Moses said to Joshua. See, God said, you cheer him up, you encourage him. So what Moses did, what he did, be strong. And then what's neat to me, and I didn't write down here, but when Moses died, Joshua was the leader. God came to Joshua, and God said to Joshua, be strong. Be strong. You're going to do it. Makes a difference. The world calls it affirmation, you know, positive affirmation. But it's, you know, power suggestion and all that. No, that ain't what it is, doll. It's just plain old encouragement. It's just somebody's being for you, saying you can do it. Yep. You ought to encourage your children. You ought to encourage them. Yep. Say, you can. You can do it. Well, let me get sidetracked there. But how to encourage yourself? You ever done this stuff? I mean, you ever thought about this? You get discouraged, how do you encourage yourself? Well, you count your blessings and all that you have going for you. You know, the song says, count your blessings, name them one by one, and it'll surprise you what the Lord hath done. And that is right. You get the mully grubs and get the feeling all down and out. Why don't you just start going through all the people in your life and all the blessings in your life and all that God has done for you in just the last little bit. Look around you at your children. Look around you at your family. Just look through your life at all the people that has been a blessing to you. You know, I pity you if all you've got to look at in your life is negative, bad stuff. I think you got a mind problem and a heart problem. Your memory doesn't work like that naturally. You know how it works? You just don't remember the bitterness. It loses its edge. You remember, but it's just that bitter smell and taste is gone. When you go to remembering, you remember good things. And it's a good thing it's that way. Because you can cheer yourself up. You got a more memory that's stored in any computer. You got all the things that people have said to you, done for you. All through your life. Why don't you just start thinking about some of them? Just pull up a few of them. And you'll cheer right up. It ain't all bad. Life ain't that bad. In fact, life's pretty good. Look at all the sweet blessings. Look at all the good people that I've known and met. Look at all the things God has helped me with and brought me through. How do you encourage yourself? Count your blessings. How you encourage yourself. Get a larger view of things than the present circumstances. Don't put yourself in a little box of present circumstances. Everything's changing all the time. It just don't matter that much. And most of the things that we get so discouraged about are just little things. Really. I mean, when you really pared down there, there's not many things that are just that important, really. I've been so discouraged a lot of times. You know, we used to have a skidder, Mike. You showed us some pictures a while ago, but it wasn't no new skidder. It was somebody's nightmare, and it was ours for about 7 years. And, you know, work and just broke and just, I mean, just on the wire, and then the motor blow up, $8,000. You just think. And you think that ain't discouraging. But it's just a piece of junk. We finally got rid of it. Yes, sir. I really felt bad for the guy that bought it. I did. I thought, my goodness. I told him everything that was wrong with it that I knew about and what a nightmare it had been, and he still bought it anyway. But I'm just saying to you, you know, when you're in the depths of things like that, I mean, your car blows up. Man, discouraging. Hey, you're going to get another car, ain't you? Yeah. Or are you just going to walk from now on? No, you ain't about to walk from now on. You get you another car. Somehow, some way, you're going to get another car. Things will work out. They always do. Right. Somehow, it just happy. You just go on living. And Dad always said, ain't gonna matter 100 years from now, it ain't gonna make nobody no difference. Well, it ain't even gonna be 100 years. I've found out 2 weeks usually takes care of it. If that long. You done forgot all about that. Waiting on the next one. We just dive too deep into the discouragement and despair. And it's the devil that, I mean, he's a shoving us. If we would just realize that, it's him a shoving us down, trying to drown us in it. How do you encourage yourself? Well, you make sure that you don't leave God out of your equation. 2 Chronicles 31, verse 4. Moreover, he, Hezekiah, commanded the people that dwelt in Jerusalem to give the portion of the priests and the Levites, that they might be encouraged in the law of the Lord. Just do right. You'll be encouraged. Yes. 2 Chronicles 35, verses 1 and 2. Moreover, Josiah kept a Passover unto the Lord in Jerusalem, and they killed the Passover on the 14th day of the first month. And he set the priests in their charges and encouraged them to the service of the house of the Lord. 1 Samuel 30, verse 6. This is a real, man, this is one of those verses that always sticks with you. You read this and study it and think about it and experience it and glean the help out of it, and you never forget it. And David was greatly distressed. He was discouraged. Very. Greatly distressed. You know why? Because he had been losing for years. From the day that Samuel anointed him with that oil to be king of Israel, from that day forward, his life was just... He had to leave his own country and was with the Philistines. Then they said, "You ain't fighting with us no more." And then he went back to Ziklag, where their families and all were, and somebody done burnt that place to the ground and took everything they had and all their wives and children and took off with them. And then his own men were talking of stoning him. So David was very greatly distressed. You know, what in the world today? Would you be discouraged? Of course. Wouldn't it be sad if we read this and we said, and it just said David was so distressed that he never got over it, and so we never hear no more about David because he just gave up. No, David hasn't even begun yet. For the people, David was greatly distressed, for the people spake of stoning him, because the soul of the people was grieved, every man for his sons and for his daughters. But David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. He said, "Bring me the ephod." What'd he do? He prayed. He said, "Lord, what am I going to do? Should I go after him or should I just give up?" Well, what if the Lord said, "Just give up, I'm done with you"? What do you think the devil would have said to him? If he's listening to the devil, or if he just stuck on himself having a self-pity party there. No, but the Lord said, "Up, go after him. You're going to recover all. I'll deliver them all into you." So he went and got them all. Happy ending, because David encouraged himself. Ain't going to be no happy ending if you don't encourage yourself. Might not be somebody else to encourage you. So you better encourage yourself, and you better learn how to do it, and you better get good at it, because you're going to need it. Yes. Then on top of that, you can't encourage nobody else if you can't encourage yourself. So, how do you encourage others? Isaiah 41, verse 6. They helped every one his neighbor, and every one said to his brother, "Be of good courage." That's what they were doing then. Isaiah 41. They were encouraging one another. And well, first of all, like I just said, you got to encourage yourself. How do you encourage others? You got to encourage yourself first. You can't encourage someone else when you're discouraged. You got to encourage yourself before you can encourage somebody else. You can't go to somebody all discouraged. That's what we do a lot of times. We identify with their discouragement and try to make them feel better by telling them how discouraged we are too. Do you ever have anybody that you just can't hardly talk to because, you know, they're in such a hurry to tell you all their problems and distresses that's all it is. It's just, we're just having a pity party together here, having a contest to see who's got the most troubles. That ain't going to encourage nobody, is it? Misery may love company, but there's no comfort in it, that's for sure. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 29. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. How do you encourage somebody else? Well, that's how. You just speak good things, speak positive things. Don't tell them your problems. What would it be like if we just didn't tell each other our problems? Didn't talk about it.
So, well, I don't know about that. You're supposed to.
Oh, yeah? Are you? How would that encourage you? If I told you, man, you just don't know what shape I'm in. Boy, I'm telling you, I got so many problems, I don't know what I'm going to do. Let me tell you, well, I got this and this and that. What's it going to do to you? It's going to discourage you. It ain't going to encourage you. We encourage others by helping them in real ways, too. If possible, do what you can do to remove, to weaken, or disable whatever it is that's discouraging them. So, you know, it's not just words. It's not just be ye warmed and filled. God bless you, brother. No, it's do something. Jesus never left nobody hanging. Didn't matter what they were. Didn't matter who they were. Didn't matter what race they were. What country they was from. Didn't matter what gender they were. It didn't matter what. Two thieves hanging by him on the cross. One of them got saved. The other one didn't because he rejected him. Wouldn't have it. Jesus met a leper. He healed him. Met a blind man. He healed him. Met two blind men. He healed both of them. Met 10 lepers. He healed them all. Met a funeral going on. He raised them from the dead. Boy, wasn't nobody discouraged after that, were they? Everywhere he went. I mean, he delivered the ones that were in darkness. I mean, he brought them out of their discouragement and into the light. So that's what we ought to do. If we're going to encourage other people, you need to think that way. You need to be, what's the kid's song? A sunbeam, a sunbeam. I'll be a sunbeam for him. Well, what does that mean? Well, brighten the corner where you are. That'll encourage people. Don't you like to meet up with somebody that just encourages you? And when they leave, it's just like you're refreshed. Well, that's how you do it. If they're discouraged by the heavy load they're bearing, try to bear some of it with them, for them. Take some of their load off. That's how you encourage somebody. Galatians chapter 6, verse 2. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. That's a powerful little verse right there. So fulfill the law of Christ. How? Bear ye one another's burdens. Also, we need to encourage with words. People who are discouraged seek out someone to encourage them. A lot of people are just looking for an encouraging word. You need to always think of that. Instead of being so critical of everybody, instead of being so condemning of everybody over the way they look or the way they, you know, they may be hateful and mean. Won't you look a little farther? Look a little deeper there. You know. They're discouraged. Yes. 1 Samuel chapter 22, verse 2. Everyone that was in distress, and everyone that was in debt, and everyone that was discontented gathered themselves unto him. Who's it talking about? David. David was an encourager. When you got around David, you heard a good word. You got some encouragement. Because it wasn't that he never got discouraged, but he knew how to encourage himself in the Lord. And since he knew how to encourage himself, he knew when he was looking at somebody else that was discouraged, he knew what to say to him to help him. Even if he didn't have anything to give them, even if he couldn't take their load, he knew what to say to help them. Everybody was in debt. Everyone was discontented, gathered themselves unto him, and he became a captain over them. And there were with him about 400 men. Everybody that was in debt, in distress, discontented, gathered themselves unto him. Why? You don't think for a minute that it was because he was that way, do you? that he was discontented, he was in debt, and he was in distress, and that's why they gathered to him, because misery loves company, you know. No. That's why David's men were loyal, fiercely loyal to him. He didn't buy them with money. He didn't rule them with an iron fist under the threat of the sword if they didn't do what he said. That ain't how David ruled them. That ain't what made him the king. That ain't what made him their captain. He knew how to encourage a discouraged heart. And let me tell you something. When you encourage a discouraged heart, you've won that heart. You won yourself a friend. They won't ever forget it. Remember that. Tell them what the Lord has done for you in your distress. That's what David did. In 2 Samuel 22, verse 5, he said this, five through seven. When the waves of death... David was good about writing it down. I'm telling people all the time, write this stuff down. When God does something good for you, write it down. When God gives you a good thought, write it down. Good experience, a blessing, write it down. That's what David did. He wrote this down. He said, when the waves of death compassed me, man, I was so discouraged. The floods of ungodly men made me afraid. I just lost all hope. The sorrows of hell compassed me about. The snares of death prevented me. In my distress, I called upon the Lord and cried to my God, and he did hear my voice out of his temple, and my cry did enter into his ears. We can read on and on. You can see how it picked him right up. Just simply watch with them. If you want to encourage somebody, just watch with them. Jesus said in Matthew 26:38, he said, then he saith unto them, my soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. Who said that? Did y'all hear me? Jesus. The Lord Jesus said, my soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. There's another verse here in the same, and during the same happening, he said, now is my soul troubled. Jesus. God. And he said, tarry ye here and watch with me. Nothing you can do for me. How about just be with me? Won't you just stay here with me? And they couldn't. They wouldn't even stay awake. They couldn't even stay awake. His trouble didn't trouble them enough to even keep him awake. Really kind of bothers you. I mean, it don't comfort you. It just discourages you more when you think that somebody, your friend, don't even care enough to... they can just drop off to sleep. I can't sleep if I'm troubled. You know, if I go to bed and I'm laying there fretting about something, I can't go to sleep. If I know she's all trouble, how can I just lay down and say, see you tomorrow? That ain't very, what's it going to do? Discourage more. Don't you even care? Watch with them. That's how you encourage people. These are just different things you can do to encourage people. Just be there for them. Just spend time with them. There doesn't have to be anything said. Just the presence of someone else helps. You ever realize that? You ever had that? I mean, you know what I'm talking about there? You don't have to talk. You don't have to say nothing. Just be there. Just sit there. Awake, that's the way it always was until the modern days. Now it's a big family reunion and a party, and everybody's laughing, and they come dressed like they're going to the river or something, and it's all irreverent and ungodly, and it's just wrong. Awake has always been people just came and sat there. You just sit there, just so they know you're there. Ain't nothing. What can you say? What can you do? I'm just here. Just come to sit with you. Remember that story about the little girl? She cried with him. Didn't say nothing, just cried with the old man. Pray with them and pray for them. Try to get them to looking toward God like Jacob did in Genesis chapter 35, verse 3. He said, "Let us arise and go up to Bethel." That's one of the better ideas that Jacob had. That's one of the better decisions he made for his family. It's one of the best things that he ever did to guide his family. He said, "Get up. Get rid of these gods and stuff. We're going to the house of God." Get them to look into God. "Let's go up to Bethel, and I will make there an altar unto God, who answered me in the day of my distress, and was with me in the way which I went." What's he doing? Remembering past deliverances. Remembering past blessings. Remembering the times past when he was in distress. And he found the way out. He's going to do it again. And he's taking these with him. That's how you encourage people that are discouraged. You ain't going to get out of it without God. Why don't you just take them where you found the way out? Jacob took them to the house of God. That's where you're most likely to meet God and find encouragement. That's true. Still true. I know the churches are a mess, but the most likely place where you're going to find God is in the house of God. Amen. I don't care what kind of state it's in. It ain't never been perfect. Since the beginning, it ain't never been perfect. The churches ain't never been perfect. You can go to any church through all the ages and you can find the problems there. But God's there. It's His church. He gave Himself for it. He bought the church with His blood. So you can bank on the fact that He's going to, if somebody comes there looking for Him, that's where they're going to find Him. They ain't going to find Him at Walmart or down on the river or in a boat on the lake. They're going to find God in the house of God. Jacob didn't say, "Boys, let's hitch up the boat and let's go to the river and just think on there and see if God will say something to us." And he, gonna go to Bethel and gonna build an altar there. We're gonna do some business with God. We ain't gonna do none of this other stuff. Do like the psalmist did. Psalm 73, verse 2. "But as for me, my feet were almost gone. My steps had well nigh slipped." And then he just talks about how he's just looking around him at the circumstances. I mean, the rich men, they're just fat and sassy. No bands in their death. They have their heart, don't want anything. They've got everything their heart can desire. And there I am, trying to serve God. And I'm a poor man and lightly esteemed. And he said, I think I've cleansed my hands in vain. But then in verse 16, "When I thought to know this, it was too painful for me." He was so discouraged that it just hurt. You ever been there? "Until I went into the house, into the sanctuary of God, then understood I their end." He went into the house of God, the sanctuary of God, and that's when everything turned around. It ought to be that, and it is that way still. All right, I'm just about done here. I want to read a couple more scriptures. Somebody say, "Bless you, bless you." If we can get them to God, He'll encourage them more than we ever could. Moses encouraged Joshua, but later God Himself did it. Here's what I was telling you about a while ago, Joshua chapter 1, verse 6 through 9. God said to Joshua, "Be strong and of a good courage. For unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Only be thou strong and very courageous." Done told him twice now. Be strong. Be full of courage. Be very courageous. "That thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night." Now what's he wanting him to do? Be strong and be of a good courage. Be very courageous. So what's he need to do? stay in the Word of God. Meditate on it there day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Have not I commanded thee? Be strong, and have a good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. Ain't nothing will encourage you like God telling you that. Now, I can tell you, God will be with you. It just don't carry the weight. It does when God tells you. And when you realize that, when you read the Word of God and you begin to understand that He has said that to you, man, it sure help you about being discouraged. For one of us to say to a discouraged brother, be strong, that might help some. But when God speaks those words to a heart, it does so much more good. Don't accuse and blame and find fault. That only causes them to be angry. And that's what adds to discouragement and makes it worse. Discouragement always follows anger. Colossians chapter 3, verse 21. Fathers, provoke not thy children to wrath or to anger, lest they be... Anybody know what the word is? Discouraged. You provoke your children to anger, they'll be discouraged. Why is the reason most people turn away from God and right and leave? They're discouraged. Fathers, provoke not your children to anger, lest they be discouraged. Strive to be an encourager and seek for those who need an encouraging word. Look around you, everywhere you go, no matter where you're at. If you're at work, if you're at church, if you're at the store, if you're at home with your family, look around you. Somebody's discouraged. How about just a word? Why don't you just practice trying to be an encourager? I could go on and on, but Barnabas was an encourager. He was the son of consolation. That's what his name meant. That's what he did. He went around hunting down people like Paul. Mm-hmm. Like John Mark. And he encouraged him in the Lord. There's some good examples of people like that in the Bible, and they did a lot of good. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 16. I'm going to read two verses, and I'll be done. The Lord give mercy unto the house of Onesiphorus, for he oft refreshed me, and was not ashamed of my chain. Well, some of the others said, boy, you got yourself in a pickle now, Paul. I mean, you done ruined your ministry. This is the end of it. You're in jail. Look at this. You're in bonds. What good you going to do like this now? You messed up. You should have been smart like us. We're still free to preach the gospel, and you're locked up. Well, Onesiphorus didn't talk to Paul like that. He wasn't ashamed of his chain. He knew what it was for. He knew Paul was right. So he encouraged Paul. Remember when John the Baptist was in prison and he sent to Jesus saying, are you really him or should I look for another? Jesus said, you go tell John that the blind receive their sight, the dead are raised, the sick are healed. You tell him he ain't wrong. He had it right. You see, the circumstances got him discouraged. He did right. He was faithful to tell that wicked woman right in front of her. Tell Herod right in front of her, it's not lawful for you to have her, your brother's wife. John the Baptist was faithful to do it. Herod trembled. She got her hackles up. And she won by the outward appearance. She got his head finally. He's in prison waiting on that to happen. And he says, man... Have I just made a total fool of myself? I mean, I did what's right, and look where I'm at. Jesus encouraged him by sending some words. Onesiphorus encouraged Paul. And then in Acts chapter 4, verse 36, and Joses, who by the apostles was surnamed Barnabas, which is being interpreted, the son of consolation, a Levite, and of the country of Cyprus. Barnabas was that was his ministry, encouraging discouraged people. Pretty good ministry, let me tell you. Jesus did it. We're going to be like him. Then I think that ought to be a part of what we do too. Instead of just going to church, sitting on the pew, tithing, you know, reading our Bible once in a while, pass out a tract maybe once in a while. I mean, that ain't all there is to it, folks. The real deal, if we want to really be Christians, we need to encourage one another. And not just one another, encourage yourself. Learn how to do that first. Quit having pity parties. Then start encouraging other people. Start with the brethren. But everybody needs encouraging. And there's a lot of people. How would you like to be in this world without hope and without God? Reckon they ever get discouraged? They stay that way completely. Say, there's a God in heaven, man. There ain't no need in you being this way. And the devil's got you in his snare, and that's what he does. He just torments your mind and makes you live in that darkness and despair. Amen. Be an encourager. Let's stand. It's a real problem we got, and it's where the devil deals, you know, he really deals this blow after blow after blow, and we can do something about it. I mean, I've just told you a few things tonight about how to encourage yourself, how to encourage others. And we can do something about it. We can do something about our own discouragement, and we can do something about those around us. Amen. Father, we thank you for the Word of God. It sure is good to hear these things said again. Lord, I pray you'd help us to remember them. And I pray we'd, Lord, develop a habit of being an encourager and encouraging ourselves. Develop the habit of recognizing the devil's behind this. Every time it happens, it's him who makes us look at everything through dark glasses. Lord, I pray you'd help us to walk by faith, not by sight, and not let the devil discourage us, and not be a discouragement to everybody else around us, but to be an encourager and a person who refreshes those around him. Lord, help us in Jesus' name. Amen.